Hi, welcome, and you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano. I hope that you all are really enjoying your week, and happy Wednesday to everybody. We want to thank our sponsor for the Walk the Talk with Kim show, Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson promise. And we also want to say hello to our producer, Eric. How are you?
Hi, Kim. Happy spring.
Yeah. Is it official?
It's official.
Yesterday, the first day of spring?
Yesterday was the first day of spring.
Yay.
But today's the first day that it's actually looked like spring. So,
well, yesterday it was beautiful where I live. So you just must be in the wrong part of town.
No, it was pouring rain in the Bellevue, Tacoma, and Seattle area.
Oh, so. That doesn't sound very good.
No.
No, we don't like that at all. Well, I wanted to mention to everybody, I know we've had the Pearson Law Firm on the radio here many times. They'll be on next week. But one show in particular that we did was on distracted driving, particularly cell phone and text driving. And I want to direct your attention to the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page, because I posted a video there. There's several videos posted there, but this one in particular was a video that was posted from a webcam in a police cruiser. And it was a case of, I'm assuming the person in the car died because it was a horrific accident. It's not gory, but I mean, it's definitely shocking. And definitely go to that page and look, because there's some lessons to be learned just by watching the video on a couple of things. Not only the texting while driving, where it was really obvious when you watched the video, there was the point when the person, you know, was distracted and then they overcorrected, and it was the overcorrection that actually caused the accident. But then there's another piece in there with this concept of high eyes. And I wanted to bring this up for anyone that's listening so that you understand what that means, because when you watch this video, watch it first like you normally would. And what typically happens is you notice that you're looking kind of out in front of your vehicle, maybe, you know, a little bit in front. And that's typically how we drive, is we're not looking that far ahead. We're looking kind of right out, right over the top, kind of down at the road. And if you watch the video a second time, try this thing, what we call in defensive driving, called high eyes, where you're looking way down the road. I mean, as far as you can, you're still going to see everything that happens in front of you.
Right.
But when you watch the video a second time using the high eyes, you're going to see that accident happen seconds before you saw it the first time. You can actually see it all unfold. And so it was a really, really great example of that. The way that the camera was mounted in the dash cam gave a really perfect example of the difference that high eyes makes while you're driving. So I just want to let all of our listeners know, I guess, as a public service, and because it's something I'm passionate about, and also out of respect to our sponsor, Pearson Law Firm, they deal with the aftermath of text driving a lot. And I know that Michelle feels very passionately that if anything can be done to prevent one person from going through the agony that she's seen, that that we have a duty to do that. So check out our Facebook page at Walk the Talk with Kim. I also wanted to give a shout out. Meadow Creek Business Center is a really wonderful little facility in Issaquah. And this is a place for people that, you know, normally work out of their house or they're a one person kind of office. They have really great facilities there. It's right off the freeway from I-90. But they're running a promotional program, or they're running a promo right now. And the idea is they want to help somebody who's getting their business going, and they want to help somebody that wants to expand their business. So they're offering a contest right now, and there's three finalists, and they all turned in, I was one of them, turned in a video. And in the video, the one who gets the most like on the Facebook page wins 6 months free. And so I wanted to let my audience know to go to the Facebook page and click on and thank our friends at Meadow Creek Business Center for doing something incredibly generous for the community. We really appreciate it. And again, just Facebook, Walk the Talk with Kim, or you can go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com and get more information there. So those are my two little bits and bytes of information today. Got a lot going on. Well, I want to invite and thank our guest for joining us today. Her name is Jane Cookley. She's with Cookley Consulting. And Jane is a individual that helps organizations, nonprofit organizations, kind of find their essence and their passion and incorporate that into their organization. So her work is fascinating. It fits right in with what we're trying to do here at Walk the Talk with Kim. So Jane, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, how did you get started with this business, with this consulting business?
Well, I actually have been in nonprofit management for about 30 years. I've worked for a number of organizations here in the Puget Sound area. And then I decided that I wanted a little bit more flexibility in my life and thought maybe that I could put some of this experience to use for other organizations. And so that's why I started my consulting business.
Wonderful. And how long have you been helping nonprofits?
I've been helping nonprofits for just a year in the consulting business, but have always been very interested in well-run and well-managed nonprofits. It's one of the reasons why I got a master's degree in not-for-profit leadership, was because I really wanted to be able to understand what nonprofits need to do from a business standpoint to be managed and run well.
We're going to have an opportunity to talk today about some tips and things that you've seen and some things that nonprofits and people that are you, also the other part of your business is you work with philanthropic organizations as well, correct? So you're working with individuals.
That's right.
Yeah, that are looking to make investments in these nonprofits. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, a lot of people don't know how to give. They know that they want to be involved in their community. They think that they like to give funds that they have available, discretionary funds, in order to support their community. But they don't know how to evaluate who to give it to and, you know, what nonprofits are being run well, if their money will be used well. And so I like to guide individuals in that, making that selection about how best to invest their philanthropic dollars.
Mm-hmm. So what about this work calls you? What is it about working with nonprofits and philanthropic organizations that you said, I have to build a career around this? What is it? What is your why?
I think I am just enthralled with how people can get passionate about something that they really care about. And I like to help people do that. I mean, as a fundraising professional, which I have been in my past life and continue to do for nonprofits, both as a volunteer and in paid positions, it's really all about helping people get in touch with their passion. It's not about my nonprofit and how much money I can raise for my nonprofit. And I have, on occasion, actually suggested to people that maybe my nonprofit wasn't where their passion was. Because the goal is that you want someone to be a donor to your organization who will be there long term. And just because they respond with $25 to something that came to them through the mail, that's not necessarily a long-term investment.
Right. If you were to kind of categorize, and I want to talk more about these categories as we go on through the show, but if you were to kind of outline some of the top challenges of nonprofits, I mean, obviously getting and retaining volunteers is one of them. Fundraising is huge. What are some other challenges that you're seeing, some subject matter that people may be struggling with in nonprofits?
I think there are some issues around branding and where your brand is used. I think that many of us have heard about the Susan Jean Coleman episodes that have happened recently. And I think that it is important for nonprofits to be aware of the fact that they have a brand. Even if it's a small nonprofit in a local community, they have a local brand. And I think if nonprofits would stop and think about where their brand is being used, who they're associating with, when they get into a cause marketing relationship or they get into a sponsorship relationship with a for-profit business, to think about that association of their brand. It's a challenge. It's hard. Some nonprofits don't even realize they have a brand. And it's a business term, and there too often I think nonprofit boards and executive directors and staff don't think of themselves as a business. They think of themselves as a business, but they don't like to talk in business terms.
Yeah. I remember when I first started to get involved in nonprofit work, somebody asked me, well, what's your mission? And I went, you mean my and that's how they have a different vocabulary for business terms, basically,
right?
You know, branding and mission are kind of, you know, we talk about mission statements, but their mission, it's kind of what is your brand? What is it that you do? Mm-hmm. And we do use different vernacular, but I appreciate what you're saying about nonprofits. They know they need to run as a business. And a lot of them do that very well. But there's a lot of organizations. It's like, I need somebody else to run the business because I'm focused on the passion. And it's okay not to be all things in an organization, but that the key is when it's time to ask for help. So I want to talk about that. So how do people find out more about you and what do you do and what you do? Where's a good place for them to go?
I have a website. Okay. It's keekleconsulting.com, and that's K-U-E-C-H-L-E. So they can go there and learn. I also have a LinkedIn profile that they can take a look at. I'm on Biznic, and I have a pretty active Twitter site. I like, wonderful. And it's Jane Keekley at, it's just Jane Keekley. And what I like to do on the Twitter site is I spend a lot of time finding websites where there's good information about the management of nonprofits. And I tweet about it. So I hope that people find that as a resource. And if you can't find me on Twitter, if you go to my website, you'll see a Twitter feed where you can see what I've been posting.
Do you post them under hashtag nonprofit?
I do hashtag nonprofit, hashtag fundraising, and sometimes hashtag philanthropy, depending on what the topic is.
Perfect. And if you have no idea what that means, this is an opportunity for you to get Twitter literate, right?
Right, exactly.
We'll talk a little bit more about that. And I do want to talk about social networking when we come back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I have Jane Keekley with Keekley Consulting on the show here with us today, talking about nonprofit management and philanthropy. Come on back and listen to some more.
It's business time. Yes. Business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org. Or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Accelerated weight loss, and everyone's a winner. You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days. It's about science, not celebrities. No HCG, just award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Join 10,000 satisfied clients. Save $100 with the listener appreciation discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Get funky. It's business time. Thank you, Eric, as usual, for setting the mood. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we are here talking about the business of nonprofit. And so we've got our list of things. I definitely want to ask you a bunch of questions about, because you're a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of information for our nonprofit audience.
Thank you.
And so you're welcome. I wanted to talk first about branding. We talked about that in the last segment, but I want to expose that a little bit more. The typical nonprofits you're working with, are they, you know, the big ones or are they local ones? I mean, what are you seeing out there as a typical demographic, you know, as a dynamic or a person that would become an organization that becomes a nonprofit? About how many people?
Most of the nonprofits I've been working with have been small that are trying to grow. So they may have no staff. They may have a staff of two or three people. And what they've typically have gotten themselves to the point where they don't know what the next step is. So that's one of the things we try and look at is what is their, I mean, typically they have a mission. They've gotten that far. But looking at strategic planning and where is it they want to be and what are their values, and then how do you look at all of that and say, okay, what is our brand? And kind of what is our niche? What are we filling the need in the community that somebody else is not filling? What is unique about what we do? And then building an idea about what the brand is around that.
And do you find that when you get to that point that there's already logos and, you know, typical marketing branding things already developed that you can work with? Or do you kind of have to start over, do you think?
Usually it's developed, but it isn't necessarily consistent.
Mm.
So it's working on that consistency. Here you have a logo. Here you have a tagline. But the tagline may have changed over time.
Right.
And so old stuff is still laying around while you're still trying to establish new stuff. So it's getting cohesive about that and being consistent about it. So, and then being consistent over time. I know sometimes people get tired of their brand and say, oh, well, we got to change it. We got to change it up. But the public isn't. They don't know about the brand yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being consistent about it and being comprehensive to be sure that you're saying it the same way and that you're saying it everywhere.
I really got some great advice from someone that was explaining to me, when you look at when Datsun became Nissan, mm-hmm. they didn't just one year go from Datsun to Nissan. I mean, they kind of did. But in terms of tagging the cars and the logo, what they started to do is it was Datsun by Nissan, very small. And then over the course of the years and the model type, the Datsun started to get smaller and the Nissan started to get bigger. And so when they talk about changing logos or changing branding, you don't want to all, you know, throw away your brand and start out with something fresh and brand new, because in the mind of you know, your audience, you've left and something else, you know, something new's come along.
It reminds me of how Macy's adopted the major department stores in all of the biggest cities around the country. It was the Bon Marché with Macy's small, and then it finally became just Macy's. But that took time. They didn't do it in one fell swoop.
Yeah, you don't want to. And so changing up is good. I mean, you want something to catch somebody's eye, but you could do something like change the size of the picture, put in another color. I mean, there's lots of different ways.
Right.
So definitely having a marketing specialist. And there's a lot of very wonderful, intelligent, smart people out there that are entrepreneuring and could, you know, give people an opportunity to kind of look back. Is that something that you do, or can you do you work with these organizations and you work with some marketing people that can come in and kind of freshen up a look?
I usually work with marketing people rather than doing it myself, but I do try and help the nonprofit identify where their market is. Where they should be focusing their efforts and what their brand is, which is larger than just what the pictures look like,
right.
But it's the total value of your company and what it is you're trying to sell.
Can you give us an example of, if you can give them a plug, if you feel comfortable with that, of a nonprofit that did it right?
You know, the one I used to work for, United Way of King County, has done it right. United Way of King County, when I first went to work there many, many years ago, had a very confusing brand. People didn't know what United Way was all about. And it would be different from community to community. But United Way of America, which is the over all of the United Ways, started to work with all of the United Ways around the country to help them be consistent. And now when you go from community to community, you pretty much know what a United Way is, because they are the same in each community. They aren't the United Good Neighbor Fund. They aren't this or they aren't that, which would be different than in each community. They became one brand.
Mm-hmm. And how does that help the community then? So the community knows exactly what United Way is and United Way does, and it's consistent in each of the different communities?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's probably a workplace giving campaign.
Mm.
You know that the money is used for human services in your community. So you could be in a company that has several businesses, several branches around the country, and you get transferred to a new community. Well, the way that United Way is managed in that community is probably the same as it was in the one that you left. So it's consistent for you as a donor. If you know that this is going to come out of your paycheck, it's going to start in January or whatever your fiscal year for your company is.
So let's talk a little bit, if we're talking about branding and marketing, let's talk about social media a little bit, because, you know, obviously there's a lot of resources and efforts going into social media. It can also be a huge time suck for an executive director.
It can be.
What are some of the heavy hitter things that a nonprofit, if they're not doing it today, definitely should be doing in bites?
I would say that you definitely want to be on Facebook. You want to have your own page on Facebook for your nonprofit. And then you want to encourage all of your donors and followers to like your page. If your nonprofit is there and you use it as a vehicle for announcing what's going on within your organization, it's a place where all of your constituents can find you. Sometimes your website, which can be expensive, is something that you don't get updated as often as you should. The website needs to be there. You need to have that, because that's where people are going to use, they kind of use your website as a library. They're going to go there to find out information about your organization. But just to know what's happening on a regular basis, you should have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Twitter is useful if you're an organization that has a lot happening and you want to highlight what's going on and what's happening. But you can get lost on Twitter. So I would recommend absolutely Facebook. LinkedIn can be very useful, too, and it can be useful in a couple of ways. One is to have a profile there, but those are individual profiles. But profile your executive director. Make sure that that person is there so that people can find out more about the leadership of your organization, and all of your senior staff should have profiles on LinkedIn. You might want to also have your board chair. Be sure that they have a LinkedIn profile and other board members who then can list your nonprofit as one of their volunteer activities. So that kind of raises the visibility of the expertise within your organization.
Great information. Also on LinkedIn that I love, and I think is one of the best features about LinkedIn, are the groups.
Yes.
You definitely want to be a part of a group.
And you want to comment. You can't just be there, but you have to engage and you have to be involved. And I think sometimes too often people get these pages put up about their nonprofit, but then they don't do anything with
them. Right.
And so I know that takes time. There are some shortcuts. You can use something like Hootsuite or TweetDeck in order to be able to schedule your postings, and that can help with time. But people today find out more online than they do in any other way about your nonprofit. So it's really important to be active in social networking.
What about YouTube and the use of video? Do you think that's helpful?
I do. I think that's helpful if you have something that's worth videoing. Sometimes people don't. It depends on what your nonprofit does. I've been working with the Friends of the Issaquah Salmon Hatchery in Issaquah, and it's wonderful to put up videos of salmon jumping in the stream in the fall. And to link, and that's another thing, is to search for your nonprofit and its activities online. So, for example, this last fall, there were a number of school groups that came for tours of the hatchery and then posted videos about it on YouTube on their elementary school website, which we then could link to at Friends of the Issaquah Salmon Hatchery to show what activities were going on at the hatchery. So if you have something that is good to look at and gets people excited and wanting to watch, then I think it's useful for YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Good. And what about looking at any other social media types of things that are coming out there? Is there any one in particular, Foursquare or, you know, anything like that, that you think are emerging? Pinterest, maybe?
Pinterest. I think the Foursquare is great if you have a place-based nonprofit, if your nonprofit is a place that people come to. So it's a museum or it's a fun place to be. I think then, yes, you do definitely want to do that. Pinterest is interesting. I've been exploring it recently. One of the kind of things to be cautious about on Pinterest is if you post something there, it becomes their property. And so on any of these sites, be sure that you're reading all of the policies, privacy policies, and all of the other agreements carefully to be sure that you're not getting yourself or your nonprofit in hot water.
I had no idea that Pinterest is claiming ownership of the property.
Of anything that's been on the site.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Pinteresting, as it were,
right? Yeah, that's a good
one. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about fundraising and volunteer recruitment, because I think those are two of the banes of the existence of executive directors out there. And I really am curious to hear what Jane's comments are around that. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim right here on Alternative Talk, KKNW, AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days with the My Weight Loss to Wellness Accelerated Weight Loss Program. No celebrities, no HCG, and no prepackaged food. See results in just 7 days. We use award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Save $100 with the listener appreciation discount for Walk the Talk with Kim listeners who enroll through February 29th. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Fat Lip, and this is my friend, Sammy the Salmon.
What it do?
Today, we're going to teach you some fun facts about salmon and a brand new dance.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Eric, I am always amazed at your library of musical knowledge.
Well, you guys were talking about that salmon hatchery. So
we're going to talk about the salmon dance.
Well, why not?
So now you know.
Have a little salmon dance during the break.
So if I were to throw any kind of word out there, you would be able to go to your little library and find some sort of music that goes with that word.
Possibly, yeah.
So we're going to have a Stump the Eric contest, I think, at one point in time. We're going to have our listeners come out there and maybe Facebook us the most obscure word we can think of, and you have to find a song to go with that word. I like that idea.
Okay,
let's do that. That's a great contest to do. I think that will be a ton of fun. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim right here on KKAM 1150. And we have with us Jane Kickley. She's with, I'm sorry, your name. I keep messing it up.
You did it right.
Kinkley. Okay, good. My last name, my main name was K-U-N-C-L. Nobody ever got it right.
I always tell people, don't look at it first, listen to it first, and then you'll get it
Kinkley.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you have an event that's coming up that helps nonprofits with marketing and
correct,
also for props. So, well, yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's on April the 26th, and it will be at actually the Issaquah Salmon Hatchery, because there's a space there that we can rent.
Are you going to do the salmon dance while you're there?
Well,
you're going to have to.
I'm going to have to learn about that, yeah.
Eric, I'll have to post that information. We'll have to find that online and post it.
So I'm doing it with a colleague of mine, Joni Kovorkian, and we are, Kovarik, I'm sorry, I said her name wrong. Speaking of saying names wrong.
Isn't that Dr. Kovorkian?
Yeah. That's why it came out that way.
Not
anyway,
this person.
Joni Kovarik.
That would be a Freudian slip, right?
I think so, yeah. We are putting together a workshop that is called, it's about cause marketing. And the purpose of the workshop is to help both businesses and nonprofits learn about that partnership and how best to work together, how to create a plan, how to figure out what you have to offer one another. The workshop is 4 hours in the morning, and hopefully when you walk out of the workshop, you'll have the beginnings of a plan, a marketing plan for how you can work together in a cause marketing relationship.
I like that.
I've been to and seen workshops about cause marketing that are for nonprofits, and I've seen them for businesses. But I think the unique thing about this is that we hope to have both in the room at the same time. We did a test pilot with a focus group and found that the conversations in the room between the nonprofits and the businesses was absolutely outstanding. So that's what we hope you'll get out of it, is not only will you come out of it with the start of a plan on how to implement a cause marketing program, but you will have gained a lot of insight from one another.
Is that going to be on April 22nd then, from what time to what time?
It's 26th.
26th.
And it will be from 7:30 in the morning until around noon. 7:30, come in and sign up, and 8 to noon will be the workshop.
In Issaquah.
In Issaquah.
Excellent. I really want to attend that because I think I can get a lot out of that.
Great.
So I'd love to
have you.
Love to join. Yeah, oh no, that would be, that sounds like a really great thing. And I'm right there with you. You know, part of the mission of this program is to bring mission-driven organizations together. So I remind people, I'm not just about nonprofit. I'm about community-based organizations as well as mission-driven organizations. And someone will say, well, what's a mission-driven organization? I mean, doesn't every organization have a mission? I said, yes. There's lots of organizations. In fact, all of them have a mission, most of them to make money, which there's nothing wrong with making money. We're in a capitalistic society. That's great. But there are organizations that have dual missions and what really, and even triple missions or triple bottom lines. They're looking at their impact in the global community. They're looking at their impact in the local community. And they care a lot about the impact of their business or with their employees. And the business is almost there to serve the ecosystem more than the ecosystem is there to serve the business.
Correct.
And so mission-driven organizations to me is also a focal point of mine, and definitely we're going to be talking a lot more about this on the Walk the Talk with Kim show, because it's definitely a passion of mine. So I applaud what you're doing. I think that that is absolutely the right way to go, is to integrate the community together and not silo ourselves into nonprofit versus for-profit right. organizations, because the challenges are the same.
So many businesses react to a nonprofit walking in the door and saying, would you sponsor us or would you help us in some way, rather than spending some time up front saying, as a business, this is what I care about in the community. Maybe it's youth soccer. Maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's a health issue that you care about. Figuring that out and then figuring out exactly how you want to go about partnering with local organizations or national organizations. Do you want to partner with something that has some international or national cachet as opposed to local down the street nonprofit? Mm-hmm. But figuring that all out ahead of time, then when someone walks in the door, you'll be ready to be able to answer the questions and say, you know, I really think what you're doing is great, but we've already made these plans for where we want to put our energy. Or you fit right where we are, and this is perfect for us, and yes, we want to work with you.
That's awesome. And I also love the idea of the partnership and collaboration between multiple nonprofits and multiple businesses too. It's something that I noticed was happening in the Valley where I live in is summertime is nonprofit season, right? Everybody wants you to come to their block party, their event, their golf outing. It seems like there's this whole, you know, onslaught. And being a part of a nonprofit organization, you were competing with other nonprofits for mind share.
That's
and
right.
The dollar. And so what started to happen organically is different nonprofit organizations started to collectively get together. For example, the Snoqualmie Valley Hospital Foundation, of which I'm the executive director, we decided we're going to partner with the Mount Si Senior Center and the Snoqualmie Valley Senior Center in Carnation, mm-hmm. because we noticed that we all wanted to do a golf tournament. So instead of having three separate tournaments, we're all getting together. And as we're sitting around this table, Snow Valley says, you know what, I'm not really great at getting corporate sponsors, but we kick butt when it comes to getting items donated for silent auction types of things. And we're really, really good at dialing for the community to get involvement. Well, you know, I've got the hospital and I can connect with them to get more corporate sponsors. And the other senior center, they have a talent and a skill elsewhere. So you could just see the anvil off the trust of the three of us as executive directors and our staff going, I can put on an event and do what I'm really good at and what I want to do.
Right.
And the stuff that I'm not really great at that's been a thorn in my side, somebody else really wants to do it. And so you know the event is just going to be glorious.
Right. And when you sometimes businesses say, you know, we really don't have money to give, but we might be able to give product, or we might be able to have a promotion where everything that's bought during this period of time from us, then the proceeds will go to a nonprofit that we want to partner with. So there's lots of creative ways to be able to do it if you don't have the cash to be able to give to a nonprofit.
Right. And nonprofits want that. I mean, they're always looking for ways that organizations and individuals can get involved beyond the monetary value.
That's right.
Right. So when people come on, when nonprofits come on my show, I let them know it's a given. Every nonprofit that comes on here would like money.
Of course.
We all want money. I get that. But I want you to think a little bit deeper and harder about where you have holes and gaps in your organization that if the right person came along would make all the difference in the world. That's the ask I'd like to hear when you come on the show today. What is it? You know, where are you missing, you know, that go-getter person that's really great? And it might be somebody who knows how to do a website like nobody's business and just loves to do it. It might be somebody who, you know, really likes to come in for 2 or 3 hours and talk with your clients. And they're just really, really good about making people feel special. I mean, there's all different kinds of ways we as a community can get more involved that doesn't require the traditional
giving up money.
Write a check.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good. Well, okay, so that event is, and how do people sign up for that? You're going to get something up here shortly?
Yeah, it will be on my website shortly. I don't have it there yet.
And what's your website address?
It's keekleyconsulting.com.
Okay, and we'll put all that information on the Walk the Talk with Kim webpage. When you go there, you can hear a replay of this show and get that information as well. We'll put it on our Facebook page and we'll put it on Twitter. So before we jump, I know we were going to talk a little bit more about fundraising, and we did talk a little bit about that. The hashtag in Twitter, this is something that I just learned about, and it was so mysterious to me. But I really like people to know how that works, because that opens up a whole new world. So if you have a specific audience that you're looking for, or you want to get a higher rating so that more people will see your site, hashtags are a great opportunity.
Right.
Can you explain what hashtags are in Twitter?
It's the number signal,
mm-hmm.
or it's symbol, not signal. It's the number symbol followed by a word. So if you put in Twitter, if you were to go to the search box and put in hashtag nonprofit, you would get a whole listing of tweets about nonprofits. And there might be some information there that will be of interest to you. One of the things that has been done at the hatchery is there's a hashtag called hashtag Issy Fish, which is Issaquah Fish, but it's Issy Fish. If you go look at that, you will find people who are talking about their experience at the hatchery. And that's what we've done, is we've posted signs at the hatchery that say, do you tweet? And if you do, tell us about your experience today by using this hashtag. So as a nonprofit, that gives us some feedback on what's going on with the visitors who come to the hatchery.
Right. And so if there's specific words that you would like to have associated to your nonprofit, make sure that you hashtag those not only in your Twitter, but like I link my Facebook, my
right.
LinkedIn. Yeah, I link my LinkedIn to my Twitter account. And so that's good to know that, so that when you're writing your LinkedIn posts or you're even writing in your Facebook posts, don't forget about those hashtags, because those are incredibly powerful. For example, this contest I was talking about earlier, where they've Meadow Creek Business Center is kindly donating, you know, an office space, that I used hashtag mom, because my video is about being a working mom and working out of your house.
Right.
And so I said, you know, check out the video of this hashtag mom, you know, as she struggles like all moms to work from home. And it's a funny video, but now anyone around the world that does hashtag mom, which is a lot, you know, will see this opportunity to see this funny video. And where that's important is not only so that people see it, but things like clout.
Right.
You know, they record all of that. And so you all of a sudden become a subject matter experts. So if your nonprofit organization does something really spectacular, maybe it's homeless, maybe it's, you know, something that you do that's unique. Maybe you do horse rescue, whatever. Associate yourself with that hashtag is really critical if you really want to stand out and if you want to be known, you know, locally, nationally, and worldwide as a subject matter expert. It's a really, really wonderful thing to know how to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's mystery to a lot of people, but I want to take the mystery out of it and let people know not to be afraid. We are going to go take a break. We've been talking all this talk about marketing. You're such a wealth of knowledge, Jane. Thank you for coming today. When we come back, we're going to talk and wrap up with more about fundraising and volunteerism.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Awesome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We did stump Eric right off the bat. He couldn't find anything on hashtags, but he found another salmon song.
That's right.
I'm in such awe of you right now. I can't stand it. Oh, man.
But
you
that leaves an opening for one of our talented listeners to write a song about hashtags.
You need to write a song about hashtags and a song about Twitter.
Yes.
Yes. We decided that Hashpipe was not appropriate
right.
for the Walk the Talk with Kim show. Although that is on my
iTunes.
That's
a whole different kind of hash.
Yeah,
thing,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. There you go.
Different
that's not, not that kind of hash. So, well, it's funny. And so I was in telecom for years and years and years. And so I did voice messaging systems. And you could switch the system between American English and Australian English and English. And the hash, you know.
Yeah.
We say press the pound key followed by, you know, the or say whatever followed by the pound key. The pound key is called hash. So it's funny. We don't call them pound tags. We call them hashtags.
Yeah.
That's so English. I wonder where that came from, that Twitter.
Well, must have started in England, perhaps.
Something like that. But yeah, we used to call those the pound key. So hit the pound key, but no, hit the hash key. Very fascinating stuff, let me tell you. These little bits and pieces of trivia we have in our brains that never go away. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we're here today with Jane Kickley. And we were talking about social media and branding and such incredible information. And we talked a bit about fundraising, but I want to talk about volunteerism because that's probably the, if not the first, it's definitely the second most challenging thing for nonprofit organizations is to attract and retain the right volunteers in their organization.
Yeah,
volunteers are everything.
Tough. Yeah.
So what are some of the roadblocks or challenges that you see or some of the mistakes that nonprofits are making in relation to their volunteer programs?
Well, volunteers are important to nonprofits for a couple of reasons. One, they are manpower to help you with your mission, whatever that is. But they also, and statistics bear this out, they become very close to your organizations and they make your best donors. So volunteers are important part of fundraising as well as an important part of meeting your mission. One of the things that I find often is that there isn't a clear definition of what I'm going to do as a volunteer. And volunteer job descriptions are just as important as the job descriptions you develop for your staff. What will I be doing? When will I be doing it? What value is it to the organization? And if a nonprofit isn't really prepared with that kind of information, then it's sometimes hard to figure out exactly what you're going to have a nonprofit do. I mean, a volunteer do. They may call up and say, I really want to volunteer with you. And you're kind of stumped. Well, okay, so what should we have them do?
Can they breathe on a mirror? Good. Okay, let's, yeah. And they might give them something that's completely out of their motivation.
That's right.
And it burns them out.
Right. But you also have to mind some nonprofits have an issue with confidentiality, for example.
Right.
And so it's sometimes difficult to find a position that a volunteer can do. But there are ways around that as well. You can do a background check on a volunteer just like you would do a background check on a staff person if you're going to put them in a position where they are dealing with vulnerable people. You can put volunteers in positions where they are supports to your organization, but maybe aren't going to be directly serving the clients that you serve. For example, they can be involved in fundraising. And some volunteers say, oh, God, I don't know anything about fundraising. I can't ask anybody for money. But fundraising, there's all kinds of ways you do it besides asking for money. There's lots and lots of things that volunteers can help with. If you're putting on events, there's a lot of legwork that has to happen there. If you are sending out a direct mail piece and it needs to be folded and stuffed and licked, they can do that. So there's lots of ways that they can support the nonprofits fundraising efforts without actually asking for money.
Right. Now, when we talk about basic volunteers, but also there's volunteers on the board.
There's volunteers on the board.
And so board, you know, now you're asking for volunteers for leadership. And I found that if you don't have a particular job or haven't thought that through, the profile of what you're looking for in that particular board position, you run the risk of having a board that kind of runs amok. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed boards that run amok. But you can also have boards that just sit there and do nothing.
Yes.
And you don't want either. You want engaged people. So if you're careful about being sure you know what you want in a position on the board, and then looking for a person to fill that position that also has a passion about what you do, you're going to have a much more successful board of directors, and you're going to have a much more engaged board member.
So one very tactical question that pops up, and I wanted your opinion on this. Some people believe that if you're going to be on a board, there should be an expectation of donation, an expectation of at least donation amount, and that should be addressed up front. What are your thoughts on that?
Many funding opportunities almost require it. So my feeling is, yes, board members should be making a personal sacrifice and contribution. The amount of that contribution is up to the board directors and up to the organization. Now, there are organizations who say, by our mission and by our requirement, we have to have some of our clients on our board. And our clients may be individuals who cannot afford to make a donation. So there are ways around that as well. You can look to see if others can sponsor that person onto the on the board and make that contribution for them. That also is something that you can explain in your application to a funding source. But I personally feel like it is important, no matter how small, that every board member has the ability to make some kind of a contribution to the organization.
Why do you think that that's important, do you think, for the,
because
for the organization?
Because it's demonstrating your personal commitment to the organization itself. Too often I've seen it happen where people get on boards and they have no requirement of a personal commitment. They aren't necessarily asked to do anything specific except just come to board meetings. After a while, they kind of lose their reason for being there, and they kind of stop coming to the board meetings. And then before you know it, you've got a name on the board that doesn't do anything.
Right.
And as an executive director, you really are hoping that the board of directors will help guide your organization, and they can't do that if they're not engaged.
Right. No, I agree 100% with you. It's a little bit of a source of contention because you want to be authentic. But I agree with you. You want people on the board that are passionate about the mission of the organization, mm-hmm. so much so that they're willing to donate. It's very difficult. And for those people that are out there that are serving on boards, it puts your executive director in a really awkward situation when you're asking them to execute fundraising programs and they can't get the board
to give. Right.
It makes it very, very difficult from an authenticity perspective, mm-hmm. For your executive director. It puts them almost in a situation to fail if they're not don't make them have to ask.
Well, you know, I've had people say, "Oh, just don't make me ask. I just can't ask anybody for money." I have a workshop that I do with boards of directors that really helps them get in touch with their passion about the organization. And what they find is once they get in touch with their passion, they can ask.
There you go. Makes it easy.
It does.
Great. So how does someone get a hold of you? I know you gave that information before, but let's give that out again.
You can do it at keekleconsulting.com, and that's K-U-E-C-H-L-E consulting.com. That's where you can also give me an email address is keekley.consulting@gmail.com. And I'm really excited about helping nonprofits be successful.
Is there a phone number?
425-864-5088.
And again, that number is 425-864-5088. Be on the lookout. We'll get that information out for that workshop. That sounds like a fascinating one. Thank you, Jane, very much for coming on the show today.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Good. We're glad that you did. And thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Want to remind you again, our wonderful sponsor, an absolute gem of people. They do so much for our community and really put their money and their hearts where their mouth is, and that's Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. Now, look around, go out there, and see what you can do in your community, and have a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful